The International AIDS Conference in Bangkok wrapped up yesterday with alerts on the soaring rates of infection among women. The leader of Amnesty International told the conference that, quote, gender inequality is driving new infections among women and girls like never before. In sub-Saharan Africa, experts say women account for 57% of those infected with HIV. The most vulnerable are poor young women, often married to men who are promiscuous and refuse to use condoms. Joining us to talk about women and AIDS and the conclusions of the Bangkok conference, Kathleen Crivero. She's deputy director of UNAIDS. And Ms. Crivero, let's start with some just basic information. Is the rate of infection among women growing at the same pace or faster than the infection rate among men?
Over the last few years, the infection rate among women, and especially young women, has been growing faster. And that's why we're seeing now, when you look at overall infections in almost every region of the world, and certainly in every single country in Africa, there are more women infected than men.
And what's the reason for that?
There are a number of reasons for that. One, young girls are biologically more vulnerable to infection because of the way their reproductive tracts develop than young men the same age. But primarily, the reasons are social and economic. For instance, the tendency to marry girls young, and the younger, what we find is the younger that girls are married, the greater the age difference between the girl and the man that she's married to, which gives the man a great head start in terms of sexual experience, and he's much more likely to be infected and to pass that infection along to his young wife. But also, now we've really been promoting prevention strategies that don't respond to the reality of women's lives. For instance, if you take ABC, abstain, be faithful, or use condoms, the fact of the matter is that most women and girls in developing countries have no choice to abstain even if they want to. They're not in a position to demand faithfulness from their partners, and they're certainly in no position to negotiate condoms. So what we're saying is that for women and girls, we need to think broader. We need to go beyond the prevention strategies we've been promoting so far, and we need to recognize that violence against women and girls increases their vulnerability, because if you are a victim of violence or a victim of fear of violence, you are not going to try to negotiate anything if your greatest fear is trying to get through the day without being beaten up. So if you reduce that violence, you increase the tendency of a woman or a young girl to try to at least to find out whether her partner has been faithful or to try to negotiate condoms. Similarly, protecting the property and inheritance rights of women and girls makes a big difference. Currently in Africa, South Asia, and some other regions, once the partner dies, the woman is dispossessed of the house, the land, everything in the house, and sometimes even the children. This drives her into risky sexual practices that we could greatly reduce or eliminate if she was allowed to keep her worldly goods when her partner died. Now, we need to encourage governments and organizations at national level to promote reduced violence and protection of property rights as part of HIV prevention strategies.
Ms. Crivero, there was some talk coming out of the AIDS conference about a microbicide that's in development, a gel or cream that women could use to kill HIV or anyway stop the virus from attaching to cells. So is that realistic? How soon could a product like that be on the market? And what would be involved in distributing it and getting it used?
In addition to reducing violence and promoting property rights and a number of other measures, we are also actively promoting what we call female-controlled prevention methods. And there are two main methods. One is already with us, and that's the female condom. Female condoms are being used in some countries. They're used very successfully by women. The women can use it and put it in several hours before she thinks she may have sex. And this is, it's successful. The problem with the female condom is we haven't promoted it enough. It's much more expensive at this point than a male condom, and we're in a little bit of a vicious circle in that we need to promote it more to get the price down. A microbicide, we hope that there will be a microbicide herbicide in about 5 years. It could be used by women, and the important point here is without partner cooperation. With a female condom, it's likely that your partner will know that you're using one. Mm-hmm. This would be a great step forward.
Well, you know, it is such a grim picture, though, and it's been going on for so many years. What you're talking about requires really deep cultural change, social change, economic change, and it's something you just can't solve by throwing money at it. So where do you look for your rays of hope in all of this?
There are many governments or organizations or leaders who would not care particularly about reducing violence against women. They do, however, want their epidemic to be reversed. So the added urgency of AIDS might just make this the moment where we could get significant reductions in violence against women. We believe that, and we believe it's an important and a critical element in reducing AIDS in the next 3 to 5 years.
Thank you very much, Kathleen Crivero, Deputy Director of UNAIDS. She's also in charge of the Global Coalition on Women and AIDS. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's detailed NPR coverage of the 15th International AIDS Conference at our website, npr.org.